the Imperials were rallying. They needed to be reminded of who they were dealing with. While crossing to the next mooring in line, he detonated fuel tanks and exploded ammunition stores. AT-STs cracked open like seed pods and burst into short-lived flame. He reached his target without encountering serious resistance and brought it down as he had the first. By now, the Imperials on the ground were calling for reinforcements from above. A trio of TIE fighters shrieked down through Kashyyyk's atmosphere, stitching the blackened permacrete with needles of fire. With a well-timed nudge on the lead TIE fighter's port solar gather panel, he sent it tumbling into the permacrete, where it exploded instantly. The impact shook the ground beneath his feet and sent cracks spreading across its face. That gave him an idea. When the two remaining TIEs came around for another pass, he sent them both into the third and fifth moorings. The fourth took so much collateral damage that it fared almost as badly as its siblings. Only one mooring remained. As he turned to it, he became aware of the clanking of an AT-ST coming from behind him. He turned just in time to deflect a barrage of precision weapons fire from the nose of a walker that was sprinting at him as fast as its two mechanical legs could run. A flurry of concussion grenades followed. He detonated them all before they could arrive and repulsed the furious blossoming of hot gases in a sphere around him. The AT-ST didn't take the hint. It was moving fast, bearing down with its flat footpads as though trying to physically trample him. Maybe it was. The walker had registration markings identifying it as belonging to the commander of the Imperial Ground Forces. Captain Stern had come to finish the job at which his underlings had failed so miserably. The apprentice dodged the stamping feet as they went by and zapped the rear of the walker with lightning. Nothing happened. Stern's walker obviously possessed a layer of shielding above and beyond that provided to his grunts. Stern brought the walker about. The walker jogged ponderously toward him. He deflected another round of cannon fire into the mooring and noticed only then that the thick cable leading up to the skyhook station was visibly vibrating. Strange surges rushed up and down its length as though it had been plucked by a giant hand. He shielded his eyes against the glare of the sun and looked upward. The skyhook was faintly visible, as was a cloud of debris coming down from above. Small specks quickly resolved into objects as big as boulders. They were growing rapidly in size. He performed a quick mental calculation. The debris would arrive about the same time as Stern's walker. Ideal. He reached out and crumpled the walker's cannon and grenade launchers. The walker reared up on one leg to stamp him into the ground. At that moment, the debris hit with all the force of 100 shooting stars, striking everything around the base of the skyhook, the sixth mooring included, and crushing the walker into scrap metal. Debris went everywhere. The noise was unimaginable. The apprentice didn't flinch or move in the slightest as rubble rain impacted about him. He only watched with satisfaction as the skyhook base ripped free of the planet and recoiled like a whip into the upper atmosphere. The station exploded shortly thereafter, briefly outshining the sun, even through the dust and smoke of his handiwork. The rain of rubble ceased. He remained exactly where he was, hypnotized by the slowly fading star in the sky, until the rogue shadow swooped down directly in front of him, repulsors whining to hold itself just above the ground. He blinked, realizing only then that Juno was trying to talk to him.
I said it's done. Hop aboard. Let's get out of here.
He moved as though in another vision, stepping lightly up onto the open ramp, but feeling like he weighed 1,000 tons. With a piercing whine, the cloaked ship angled up from the cratered ground and made for free space.